It's good to be with you this evening. I want to greet you in Jesus' name and assure you that we'll be praying for our brother Brad and for you this week. We trust that you'll have a good week together in the Lord. Brother Brad asks that we read just a little bit more than is printed on your card for the scripture this evening. Please turn with me to Exodus chapter 2, and we'll start at verse 16. Exodus chapter 2, verse 16, to the end of the chapter. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to the water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "How is it that ye are come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us, and watered the flock." And he said unto his daughters, "And where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread." And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave him gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. And she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom. For he said, "I have been a stranger in a strange land." And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried. And their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. As we think about this text, let's kneel together, all who are able, and pray together.
The Dallas Morning News once carried the following article: "Gunman faces off with prayer's power." Now, Sherman Jackson was a little late getting to the Sunday evening prayer service that night, but that was okay because he had quite a story to tell when he arrived. Sherman, 36, and his 6-year-old daughter, Alexa, stopped at a gas station to get gas. And as he was getting ready to get back in his vehicle, a man approached him and said, "I need a jump start. My vehicle is a half a mile down the road. Can you help me out?" And Sherman realized that he possibly could be late for the service, but he realized that this was someone that was in need and he would be willing to help him out. And he said, "Hop on in. We'll go down and find your vehicle." And the man got in the vehicle, and as they were about to drive away, the man said, he reached into his pocket, and Sherman thought he was maybe reaching for some money to pay him, but that wasn't the case. This man brought out a gun, and he pointed it at, poked it in Sherman's ribs, and he said, "This is for real." He said, "Give me all your money." And Sherman was terrified, and then he was kind of mad at himself for putting his daughter in this situation. He pulled out his money clip and said, "This is all I have. Take it." And the gunman did not believe him. He said, "That's not all you have." Now, Sherman was an insurance agent, and he kept Gideon Bibles in his vehicle with dollar bills tucked inside. And suddenly the gunman saw these Bibles, and he said, "Ah, I told you you were lying. There is money here." At that moment, something came over Sherman. And he said, he prayed out loud, "Father in heaven, hear my cry and deliver me from this present evil." And then he suddenly felt a calm. He later said, "I lost all conscience of concern and worry. A boldness took over me." He made a U-turn. The gunman screamed, "What are you doing?" "This car is being turned around," Sherman replied, "and I'm not taking orders from you any longer." The man said, "You don't get it. Your life means nothing to me. I will pull this trigger." And Sherman's response was, "Greater is me that is in you than he that is in the world. My Jesus is stronger than your gun. I want to tell you about Jesus." And the man wavered for a moment. He lowered his gun. He dropped his head. And when he looked up, he was crying. He said, I feel so sorry. I really would have shot you. And Sherman said, don't worry about it. I forgive you. And then he began to tell the man about new life in Christ. Sherman urged the man to go to church with him that evening, but the man declined. He asked Sherman to drive him to his car. And along the way, he began to tell Sherman all about his problems. He said his name was Mike, and he reached out to shake Sherman's hand. And as they neared Mike's car, Sherman said, and by the way, Mike, he said, I want my money back. What? Mike exclaimed. But then he proceeded to hand it over. And Sherman went on to say, you're keeping this New Testament, and you're going to read it like you've never read anything else before, and I am going to pray for you. They pulled along Mike's car. He got out, Sherman said, with a revolver in one hand and a Bible in the other, and a tear in his eye. Now, after this article was written, some of the readers responded and said they didn't believe the story. And a follow-up article was written that revealed Mike was a suspect in 15 local robberies and that Sherman was the only one who got his money back. A few weeks later, Mike was captured and was in regular contact with Sherman after that. You know, in that frightening moment, when that gun was thrust into Sherman's side, he cried out to God for deliverance. He didn't mutter a prayer under his breath, but he cried out in an audible way. He is following a pattern that occurs many times in the Bible, calling out to God in an audible way. Psalm 50, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I shall rescue you, and you will honor me. Is there a difference between praying and crying out to God? What is crying out to God? Isn't it just prayer? What if Sherman Jackson had simply muttered a prayer under his breath in that moment? Would it or would it not have been as effective as crying out to God in an audible way? Crying out to God is prayer. Prayer out loud. Prayer of distress. All crying out to God is prayer. But not all prayer is crying out to God in the same way. Jason read for us from Exodus chapter 2, and we're going to key in on verses 23 through 25. And I think most of us have enough Bible knowledge to understand here a little bit what was going on. The nation of Israel was under bondage. They were in Egypt. They were slaves. They were forced to work. They were in distress. And what did they do about that? It says in verse 23, they were weary. They sighed because of what they were enduring. And then they cried out. Who did they cry out to? They cried out to God. I can't imagine being in that situation. I enjoy working. But if I had to work as a slave, did not receive any compensation, and felt bondage like these individuals did, I would feel in a desperate situation. I'm sure that's the way they felt. So they cried out to God. You know, it doesn't say how long they cried out. It doesn't say how many of them cried out. It does say that they cried out. What was the result of that cry for help? The end of verse 23 says, their cry for help rose up to God. If any of us cry out to God, what's going to happen? Our cry is going to rise up to God. But what happened after that? In verse 24, so God heard their groaning. His ears heard their cry. You might say, well, of course his ears heard their cry. He's all-knowing. He knows everything. He hears everything. You know, he hears whether we're praying silently. He hears if we're uttering a swear word under our breath when something doesn't go quite right. But I firmly believe that God heard this cry for help in a different way than what he hears some other things that we say. He heard this request from a child of his, from one who needed help. The next thing we see is that God remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Now here again, God remembered. Did that mean he forgot the covenant? No, absolutely not. He did not forget the covenant. But because of the covenant, he gave this serious consideration. And then we see in verse 25 that God took notice of what was going on. He paid special attention. You know, this is a model for us of crying out to God. First, we need to cry out. Second, God will hear us. God will take notice. And he will remember us. So what was the result of this crying out to God? Were they immediately delivered from where they were? If we read further there in the book of Exodus, we realize that, no, they were not immediately delivered. It took a period of time, a period of waiting, a period for them probably thinking, did God really hear? Is God going to answer? Is God going to do anything about this? After that, Moses and Aaron approached the king, Pharaoh. Can our people please be delivered? Can we take them away just for a couple days and offer a sacrifice to God? The response was no. You can't do that. We're not going to allow that, Pharaoh said. In fact, just to be spiteful, I'm not going to even provide straw anymore for this brick-making operation. You're going to have to go gather your own straw, make bricks, and still make the same amount of bricks you did when I provided the straw. I'm sure this brought some resentment toward Moses. If Moses wouldn't have meddled into the affairs here and tried to get the king to Pharaoh to change his mind, the children of Israel would not have been in quite as a desperate situation as they are currently. Now here they are. They still have to do masonry work. They still have to make bricks, but now they have to provide their own straw. And even after that, it took quite a while. 10 plagues later, until they were actually delivered from where they were, until their cry from God, prayers were actually answered. When we cry out to God, the answer may not come immediately. When immediate results don't happen, does that mean God is not listening? In this case, it did not mean that God is not listening. It did not mean that God did not care, but it meant that God's timing was not quite yet. In our story for Sherman, it was immediate. It was an emergency situation. God was faithful. Is it really important to cry out to God in an audible way? Well, I guess we could take this a step further and say, is it really important to pray at all? God knows everything. He can see if we're in distress, problems that we have. Why should we pray? Why is it important that we pray when God knows everything anyhow? When we acknowledge to God that we have a problem that we need help with, we are surrendering our pride. Often, I think we can feel like we can handle this, especially for men. We have the drive to conquer. We can do this. Sometimes we think. But when we come to God in desperation and say, God, I can't handle this anymore. I need you. We are surrendering our pride. And we're telling God that we are totally surrendered, that we are ready for him to take over. We recognize how helpless we really are. As a parent, there are times when your child struggles to accomplish some task. And it might be easy to step in there and to give them a hand, to help them accomplish what they're trying to do. But isn't there something special when they come to you and say, "Mom, Dad, you know, I can't do this. Can you help me?" Perhaps that's how God feels. He can see we're in distress. He can see that we need help. What he likes to hear us ask him. He likes to hear us plead with him, cry out for help in a certain tough situation. Why cry out? Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, "Call out to me and I will answer you and tell you great and mighty things which you do not know." Why? Because we are children of God. Because we are children of God, we have this ability to call out. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, "Because you are his sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." We are told, commanded to call out to God. We have the ability to call out to God because we are his sons. There was a father who was $20,000 in debt. He had some unsecured loans that he was trying to pay off. For 2 years, he had been trying to sell some land to cover these debts. And it seemed to be going nowhere. There seemed to be no interest for buying of his property. In desperation, he walked into the woods and he cried, "Oh God." And that's all he could say. He felt that broken. He felt that helpless. His voice failed and he was flooded with emotion. And the next day, a couple told his wife that they heard they had land for sale. Within 24 hours of that crying out to God, this man had an agreement for the sale of the land for $20,000. Crying out to God is effective. It might not always work out for you exactly like this story, but God does hear. Think about Elijah. When he was there on Mount Carmel, the false prophets of Baal, they cried out for hours for fire, and nothing happened. And Elijah stepped up to the plate there, and he knew God could answer his prayer. He knew God would prove himself strong. In fact, he had the confidence that he was going to try to make fire as hard as possible to even start. And when he spoke the word, the fire immediately came. He called out to God, and God proved himself strong. When do we need to cry out? In an hour of need. In our opening story, that was an hour of need. That was a desperate situation. That was a time where God worked immediately. So take a lesson from that. Don't just whisper a prayer, but cry out to God in an audible way. If other people are around, it's okay. They're going to reverence God's name. They're going to understand. The name of God is powerful. And often it can cause others that hear that name to stop in action. The same way with quoting Scripture. A few times that I've quoted Scripture that it seems like it kind of stops people in their tracks, so to speak. It's impossible to argue against the authority of, it's fruitless to go against the authority of God's word, to question it. There are people that try that. But there is power in calling out to the name of God and power in God's written word. So we need to cry out in the hour of need. We also need to cry out for healing, for ongoing health issues, maybe something that's not emergency, but a situation that we feel helpless in. I'm sure there's many here that could testify of ways that God healed in their lives. I have to think about my sister Valerie some years back. She was in volunteer service in Maine, if my memory serves me correctly. When she returned home, she was having some physical problems. She got some testing done, and the results of the tests were not very good. I think she had some cysts growing somewhere in her body. And I don't remember all the details of what happened after that, but eventually the cysts were gone. God worked in a way in her life. I had to think of Brother Dwayne, when some time ago his kidney situation was, if my memory serves me correctly, was deteriorating quite rapidly, and kidney dialysis looked like it was going to happen. But then his numbers improved, and he never had to go on dialysis. He was saved from that unpleasant experience of kidney dialysis, and now he's doing much better with a kidney transplant. So we need to cry out to God in an hour of need for healing, and then for special needs in our lives and in the lives of others. Special needs, family issues, marriage conflict, maybe major decisions that we might face or that we do face from time to time. If I should get married or who I should marry or if I should accept a date from this young man that just asked me out. You know, I remember more than once calling out to God for times of conflict that my wife and I were having in marriage. Maybe you don't have marriage conflict, but I will say that we did. We do. I like to say that we did have a lot more than we do now. Praise be to God. But calling out in an audible way. And I remember rebuking Satan during some of those times. I said, Satan, you're not going to have us. You're not going to be victorious. But we are going to be faithful. God is going to supply our needs. And praise God, he did. A few years back when we were anticipating moving to another state, relocating, there were times when I cried out to God, and, you know, God, is this really what you want me to do? Make it plain, make it clear. Help us to make decisions. And God was faithful. In different ways, he made it clear to us that, yes, this is what you need to be doing. Also, for righteous living, to call out to God for righteous living. You know, when we're entangled in sin, maybe there's something that we're dealing with and we just can't quite seem to conquer. Psalm 138, verse 3. On the day I called, you answered me. You made me bold with strength in my soul. And maybe I shouldn't pick on only the men here, but, you know, thinking about righteous living, it seems like men struggle with two potential issues. And one of those is anger, and the other is sexual lust. And those are issues that can be hard to conquer, be hard to get over, and we can fail. But cry out to God. He can and will deliver. He can make us conquerors through him. If you struggle with a particular sin in your life and can't be an overcomer, cry out to God. And then cry out for the needs of others. There's nothing wrong with crying out for your own needs. We know ourselves better than we know anybody else. But can we cry out for the needs of others? And I'm not sure I ever did that. I prayed for other people. I'm not sure if I ever cried out in an audible way for a certain brother or sister. You know, there's nothing more comforting than to hear the words from a brother or sister, I'm praying for you. And as anticipated this week of revivals, I heard that, I'm praying for you. And when it comes from a brother or a sister that I know is sincere in that statement, it brings great comfort. Perhaps this thought of crying out to God in an audible way seems a little odd to you. Maybe you prefer to have a faith that is maybe a little more personal, a little more private, a little more less emotion. Maybe you're a keep-to-yourself type. For the most part, you're able to remain constrained and dignified through different situations that you've encountered. But what if you were willing to cry out to God in an audible way at different times in your life? What kind of blessings and benefits are there that you're not tapping into? What kind of prayers are not being answered because you're not petitioning God in an earnest, fervent way like you could be? Sometimes, maybe God seems distant to us. He seems far away. And you might wonder, does he really even hear my prayers? Does he really even care? And even though we know that he cares, we know that his word says that he cares, we can have those feelings, those emotions that can come over us. Cry out to God in an audible way. Go into your prayer closet, whether that's a closet or whether that's a special room or whether that's a special chair out on your porch. Cry out to God in an audible way. In a way that's surrendered. In a way that's stripped of any pride that you have in your life. Say, God, I can't do it. I need you. I need your power. I need you to come into my life in a real and special way. I can remember my Grandpa Nell telling us that there were times in his life. Now, he had a lot of responsibility. Was co-owner of a store for many years, elder in charge for many years. And he said he would go into the woods behind his house and he would cry out to God in a place in the woods for a heavy burden that was on his heart. You know, crying out to God will not guarantee results. It will not guarantee instant results. But if we cry out to God, like it says here in Exodus chapter 2, he will hear our cry. And he will remember. He will remember us. And how he handles the need from there is up to him, up to a sovereign God. And what does it mean, a sovereign God? And the short answer to that is God can do what he pleases. Now, how many of us think, well, that'd be pretty nice to be able to do what you please? Well, what God pleases is perfect. His will is perfect. So as you think about crying out to God, remember the children of Israel, how they cried out to God, how he heard, how he remembered, how he took notice, and how weeks, months later, their prayer was answered and they were delivered from that bondage that they experienced. I think at this time we'll have closing prayer, and Brother Jim Hoover, I ask you to come up and have closing prayer.